Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Talking about the mighty warrior, I told you a little bit about how the Roman army went into battle, in line, allowing there to be no gap in the line, and if one soldier fell, somebody from the line behind would come in so that the enemy could not penetrate that line, not just line of defense, but line of offense. And it put the fear of, I don't know about the fear of God, but the fear of Rome in their opponents when they saw this relentless march forward of the legions. The mighty warrior is leading us. And what we need to understand this morning is how we are to follow him as one. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about covenant. And you'll be able to get more of what I say from this book, True Covenant. I just mentioned covenant briefly, but we need to understand what covenant exists between us. Now, a covenant, many people think of as a relationship. Actually, it's not essentially that. Let me just quote from here. A covenant essentially is a contract, a pledge, a treaty, a binding oath or agreement. Covenant with God, therefore, begins with God binding himself to do certain things in the lives of his people as the fulfillment of what he's promising them. Now, usually attached to the promises, there are conditions. So, the basis of covenant with us is God saying, I want to bless you. If we do certain things, then we will be able to enter into that blessing that God wants for us. So Jesus says, for example, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And the Father will love you, and the Father and Son will come to make their home with you. That's a great covenant promise. But you see, we for our part are going to express our love for him in obedience, then he expresses his love for us in the fulfillment of his promises. So we are all brought into the new covenant. The old covenant of the Old Testament was based upon the law that God gave to Israel. If you obey this law, then I will bless you and you possess the land, and so on and so on. The covenant was first established with Abraham. Now, we are part of the new covenant that was ratified with the blood of Jesus. This is my blood of the new covenant. So if we repent and believe, then God will give us eternal life, salvation, life with him forevermore. But in the New Testament, it is clear that to be in covenant with God means that we are to be in covenant with one another. Because the particular command that goes with the new covenant is this. The new covenant needs a new command. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, in this book, what I outline is the seven basic principles of covenant with one another. I mean, it's about our covenant with God and covenant with one another. But towards the end of the book, there are these seven principles. I'm going to take you through those this morning. This will be new for those of you who are new students, but for members of the team and students from last year, this will remind you of what you know, because, as you know well, it's not what you know that matters, but what you do with what you know, whether you are living by these seven principles of covenant. So that's the thing. Why is this so important? Because God wants to move us forward as one body. So these are the covenant principles, not only for us here at Rafi, but for the whole of Kingdom Faith Church. And these principles are taught in the life groups, in the church, and also, of course, in other churches that relate to Kingdom Faith. So what are these seven principles? Well, if you turn first of all to Romans chapter 12, there we find the basis of the first of them. Romans 12, verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So the first principle of covenant is this: I belong to you, and you belong to me. If we belong to the Lord, we belong to one another. And what God wants to do is to create that sense of belonging. That is the most important thing when somebody becomes part of a church, a local church. That right from the beginning they have a sense of belonging. If they know they belong, then even when there's problems, even when they get upset, which is inevitable at times, they don't leave the people to whom they belong, but they work through the issues, because that is where God has put them to belong. So you don't actually belong to an institution called church. You belong to a group of people, a body of people that are the church in that place. Are we all breathing? So what God wants to do for us, and of course we can work these covenant principles out much more easily here at Rafi, where we're living in such close contact with one another, than people in a congregation who only see each other intermittently, perhaps one, two, or three times a week. So this is the ideal kind of context within which to learn to live out the principles of covenant. Now, what you're not allowed to do in the body of Christ is to choose those to whom you belong. You don't belong to those who you find it's easy to get on with. It isn't that you belong just to your particular friends. Everybody in the body belongs to you, and you belong to everybody in the body. Now, of course, this is going to have repercussions in the way in which we relate. And the the other six principles of covenant really are all an expansion of this particular principle, this basic principle of belonging. If we belong to God, we belong to his body. If we belong to his body, we belong to one another. So there should be no divisions amongst us. Nothing allowed to come in to separate us or even to cause tensions between us. So part of covenant is knowing how to deal with those negative things if and when they arise. So this is the first basic principle. I belong. Now, you see immediately that this is the death blow to any thoughts of independence. A person with an independent, I'll keep myself to myself kind of attitude cannot live in covenant. If we belong to each other, we have to be available to each other in certain ways. Hello? My family and I lived out all these principles of covenant in community for 25, 30 years. And that's an even closer relationship than anything we experience here at Rafi. So when you are living together like that, not just for 10 weeks and then have a break, but all the time, you have to work out these principles so that there is the real love and unity that needs to exist, because this was not people sort of just visiting a college. This became the lifestyle of everybody that was part of the community. So community, if you like, is just an extreme form of covenant. But the whole church is called to live in covenant. When we lived in community and before we actually started the church here, people used to say, "Don't you belong to a church?" And I said, we are more biblically church than most churches, because we actually lived out the covenant relationship with God and with one another of which the New Testament speaks. Okay, so let's see then how this basic principle is worked out. If we go to 1 John chapter 4, you're all breathing. Verse, I mean, you could really read the whole of 1 John if you want to know how to live in community. Verse 16 we'll start at. "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." So this relationship of belonging has to be a relationship of love so that we are outworking that command to love one another as he has loved us. So the second principle is, I love you. And I'm willing for you to love me. It's not that we are called to love others, but we're called to love one another. Now that means we have to be in a relationship with all the others around us to whom we belong. We're not picky and choosy, but we're in a relationship whereby we love all the others and all the others love us. Now, of course, you don't need me to tell you that this is not love. It's not something that's based on emotion. If you base your relationships on emotion, then you will just hang out with those that you particularly like. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to love one another on the basis of agape. And we've seen that agape is a love that is given. It is expressed in giving. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This love is expressed, therefore, in what we are able to do for one another, the way in which we can bless each other, encourage each other, build each other up. The essential principle is that I am here for you, not for me. And that in living for you, I will myself be blessed. Because Jesus says the measure you give is the measure you get back. People in churches need to understand that they're not a member of that church for their own benefit, but in order to love and serve others, and then as the church to love and serve the world. And Jesus prayed, Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So revival is always within the context of the church. God wants to revive his church so that people love one another in such a way that they become the witness to the world that he wants them to be. Then Jesus says the world will believe. So the fact that the world around us does not believe in the way that God intends is an indictment on the church, really, that we don't yet love one another. I'm not just talking about local church, I'm talking generally. That people in the churches do not love one another in the way that God intends. That there are so many selfish attitudes. Like, for example, I want the kind of worship that pleases me. Now, that's an anti-covenant statement. Why? Well, the worship isn't for you anyway, it's for God. And the only thing that matters is whether it pleases him. Yeah. The idea of the worship is not to please you and to satisfy some desire within you for the kind of worship that you want. But, you see, that's one of the bases on which people join and leave churches. Oh, well, I don't like the worship. Which means they have no understanding, really, of what church is or of what covenant is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they get picky and choosy a lot more than worship. You know, oh, it's not the kind of preaching I like, or it's not, you know, the sound's too loud, or the town sounds too soft, or I don't like the decor, or somebody upset me. I mean, it's all geared around, well, I'll stay if I'm happy and if everything is happening that will please me. Just shows a total lack of understanding of what church is, of who God is and what covenant means.
Absolutely.
So, covenant is a death blow to all those selfish desires and interests. And we're here to love, to bless, to give, to serve one another. In the latter part of our time in Luton, it became very famous what was happening there. And the leading women's magazine of the time sent a reporter to do an article. Now, this was a magazine that had a circulation of millions. And they did this magnificent center page spread on what God was doing in the church there with a lot about healing. And we were totally inundated with letters and requests, you know, for more information about healing. So I made a special tape. It was tapes in those days, not CDs. And on one side, it was how to come to Christ, on the other side, how to get healed by him. And we sent out thousands of these things. People would write in and we'd just say, you know, Pastor Colin is sorry he cannot answer personally because there were just too many letters, but he sends you this personal message. And we were still getting letters and hearing of people being healed about a year or 18 months afterwards, because this was one of the magazines that's in every doctor's waiting room. And you know how long those magazines remain in doctors' waiting rooms. So we were still getting these letters well over a year afterwards. But I mentioned this because I was out somewhere when this reporter came, and she was talking to my wife in the kitchen. We had so many people coming and people wanting interviews and this, that, and the other, that we couldn't just sort of sit down and talk to them. So my wife would say, "Yeah, well, that's fine. You can come and talk to me so long as you don't mind me getting on with my work while you do so." So she was in the kitchen getting on with the work, and I came in the middle of this conversation, and I heard this reporter ask Caroline, "But what do you get out of all this that you're doing for all these other people?" And she said something which has become a catchphrase now, but I'd never heard anybody say it before then, because this is going back over 30 years. She said, "To love others is to be here for them and not yourself." So she turned to the reporter and said, "That means I'm here for you, not for me." Now you see, that's covenant. That's an understanding of the kind of relationship that God has brought us into. Some of you being privileged to be discipled or mentored by Caroline. She has got such a wealth of godly experience of living covenant in action. You better take note of what she tells you, because there's not an ounce of super spirituality in her whole body. It's all been worked out in practice. So, there is this sense then, if we're working out the covenant, that we are there for the others around us. And that's the only way in which you can actually learn to live for God. You cannot live for God without living for others. Totally impossible. In fact, you can only tell if you're living for God by the way you're living for others. If you sort of sum up what John says in his first epistle, he's really saying this: if you want to know what your relationship with God is like, look at your relationship with other believers. Because the way you relate to other believers is a reflection of your real relationship with God. So there are a lot of super spits around, you know, these super spiritual people, they want to spit out your mouth, who are all full of wonderful talk, but you try to get them to do anything for anybody, and they've gone, they've evaporated, right. They're no longer there, mm-hmm. Which just shows how totally unreal their relationship with God is. It's all words and no substance. You wanted to hear that, didn't you? Yeah, because one thing we will not have here is any super spirituality. If any of you are super spiritual, it'll get knocked out of you. Hallelujah, praise God, glory, amen. And I'm quite willing to help the Holy Spirit in doing it. Okay, so we better get on to the third principle, because we could talk for a long time about all these things. Oh, what we must say, first of all, about the second one, is of course, I have to let you love me. It's not just a question of whether I love and bless and give and serve to others, but I have to let them bless me, give to me, love me, help me, encourage me, pray for me. If I'm not humble enough to do that, then I shouldn't be in leadership. I sometimes say to pastors when I'm doing leaders' meetings, "When did one of your people last lay their hands on you to pray for you?" Because if you know, if we think it's all one-way traffic, we've got a lot to learn. But we must love one another and therefore be prepared to receive from God through one another. We've got to be humble enough to do that. If you have a need, ask somebody to pray for you. Okay, we must move on. Number three, I will provide for you when I am able and will not withhold what I can do to bless you. Again, John says in his first letter, if your brother has needs and you have this world's goods and you close up your heart against the need of your brother, how can the love of God be in you? So there is this very practical aspect, giving money sometimes. Sometimes just giving time. Sometimes giving clothes or whatever we can do to bless others. One of the things I love to hear about both here at Rafi and in the church is when people are receiving anonymous gifts from other people in the body. It's always better when it's anonymous because that means the person doing the giving isn't expecting anything in return, not even thanks. That it is done really to bless the person and for the glory of God. It's great when things like that happen, that we are expressing love for helping somebody who is in need, not sponges, but those who are in need. If we see a need and we can meet it, we meet it. That's covenant. And you see, this is what Paul and others were teaching the early church. This is why they raised this offering for the famine that was going on in Jerusalem that was affecting the Christians there. And you see, the principle that Paul was teaching was this: we will supply for their need now, and then at some time in the future, they can supply for our need when we have it. So, in other words, a principle of covenant is that nothing you have is your own. I found that was one of the most gloriously liberating things about living in community. Nothing was my own. I can remember one day I'd just gone to collect a new car, a ministry car, came back to the house and somebody needed to borrow it. Brand new car, at just about 5 miles. So I just handed over the key. Yeah, fine, off you go. Why? It's not my car, not my brand new, beautiful, prestige possession. I mean, that's a little thing, but you see, it actually is the outworking of an attitude, of a principle. Nothing is my own. It's a really liberating thing not to possess anything. Because, of course, you don't possess your possessions. Your possessions possess you. Hello? As soon as you possess something, you've got to look after it and guard it and keep it and all the rest of it. So it's a liberating thing to understand that whatever God has entrusted to you is not just for you, it's to distribute and to use as He leads. God taught us this principle right very early on in Luton. There was a school teacher who needed several hundred pounds, which was a lot of money in those days, for her car to be repaired. She was a school teacher. No public transport could get her from Luton to where her school was. She needed this car. She didn't have the money. So at the early morning prayer meeting, which we had every day, somebody said, can we pray for this sister that God will supply? So we started to pray, and the Lord stopped us and said, why are you praying for what you have? He said, you have acknowledged that everything in your bank accounts is mine. Everything in your life, all that you are, all that you have is mine, which is true. So he said, then If I decide to move some of my money from one of my accounts into another of my accounts, that's my prerogative and none of your business.
That's good.
By the end of the prayer meeting, that sister had all the hundreds of pounds she needed for the repair of her car.
Come on.
Now, they were not wealthy people in that church. They were not. It was council housing estate. They were all manual workers. There were hardly any professional people in the entire congregation. But, you see, they were people who loved the Lord and who understood or were learning to understand these principles of covenant. That what is in my bank account isn't mine. It's just been entrusted to me by God to use in the way that He wants. And of course, if I'm giving out of that, He is going to give back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Therefore, I am going to have more to give away. Are we getting this? Okay, number four. Now, this is really a very important principle of covenant. I will defend you against any who speak or act against you, and will refuse to speak negatively of you myself. Nothing can create tension and division more quickly than accusation, judgment, gossip, negative things being said about people within the fellowship. Now, part of our covenant responsibility is never to speak against another brother or sister. And if anybody speaks against someone to you, you refuse to listen. You say, I cannot listen to this. You're talking about my covenant brother or my covenant sister. Because if you listen, you become a party to it. And you are likely to pass on to somebody else what you have heard, often in a distorted fashion, like Chinese whispers. So it's a very important principle of covenant that you defend one another. And you see, if you don't do that, you have broken covenant. Now, I want you to understand that in Scripture, to break covenant is a very serious matter in the eyes of God. And if we break covenant, then we've got to have that covenant relationship restored. So that the relationship goes on as if that blip had never happened. Do we have any believers? So here is a very important principle of love, of unity. And of course, this extends to those who are leaders over you. You will not criticize them or judge them, but defend them. It's not a question of whether the leaders are right or your brother or sister is right or not. Even if they're not right, it's not for you to judge them. It's not for you to criticize them. It's for you to pray for them. But it certainly is never your place to speak against them. We saw last week that to speak against leadership is rebellion in Scripture and in the eyes of the Lord. You speak against those whom God has put over you spiritually is nothing short of rebellion. But you speak against your brother and sister, and that's division. Both weaken the whole church. Rebellion undermines the spiritual unity, and division creates just that, separation between people, so they cannot move ahead together in the purposes of God. So it's very important that we put a guard on our tongues. Amen. But it's very important also that we refuse to listen when others start to be negative and critical. Don't join them in their sin. We've got strange ways of trying to justify ourselves when we do what is wrong. One of the things, I mean, I've known the Lord for 60 years. One of the things I can say is that in 60 years, God has never criticized anybody to me, and He's never criticized me to anybody. So if anybody has any criticism of me, it's never come from God. It's never come from the Holy Spirit. Because God just does not do that kind of thing. Why? Because He's forgiven us, He's accepted us, He's paid the punishment that we deserve, so He will never be critical of us. What the Holy Spirit does is not to criticize us, but to convict us when we have sinned, so that we will repent and come back into His order. But He never criticizes us to others. He will always speak directly to you. Now, those who are over you, who have got some spiritual experience, can help you see things that you need to see and understand because God is saying them, not because that person is saying them. But that's not within the context of judgment and criticism, but that comes under the category of the Holy Spirit bringing you into conviction so you can repent and see a change in that area of your life. Are we getting this? Is everybody breathing still? You're looking very sort of pensive this morning. Okay, number 5. I will honor you and will obey those who are over me in the Lord. Now, we touched on this a little bit when we were talking about the whole business of authority last week. So let me just say a little bit more. What does it mean to honor? It means to highly esteem somebody. It's much more than respect. You can respect a person and still be quite critical of them. But if you honor them, you won't criticize them. Now, the reason why you honor them is first and foremost because they belong to the Lord. He has chosen them. He has called them. He has come to live in them. They belong to Him. So you, in honoring them, you are honoring the Lord. Why does the Scripture say you give double honor to those who are over you in the Lord? Because, as I explained last week, they are accountable to God not only for themselves, but for the way in which they lead you. They have a double responsibility, therefore they are to receive double honor, according to the Scripture. Now, when you honor someone, it's not just an attitude, but you want to do whatever you can to show that you honor them. Often Pastor Gary arrives about the same time as I do in the morning, and he will always come and carry my briefcase in. Now, I'm getting on, but I can still carry my briefcase. But I always let him carry a briefcase. Why? Because it's just a little way of him showing honor to me. And I must not deny him the privilege of doing that. So sometimes to actually be honored requires some humility. Because, you know, you can say, oh, it's all right, I can do it myself, which you can. But, you see, others want to show you honor. Now, I'm not sort of manipulating anything here, but you've got to find ways in which you can honor those who are over you in the Lord. Clean their cars. Offer to come and do some gardening for them or whatever. Whatever you can do to show honor. Because those who are over you give to you so much, what are you giving back to them? How are you honoring them for all the ways in which God is using them to bless you? So the next working party at my house will be on... But also, you see, what you must understand is that people that are in leadership are usually exceedingly busy. And there's all kinds of things that you can do for them that they don't have time to do. It's just a question of being alert and on the watch. And if you have a heart that desires to honor, you will look for ways of doing it. But it's also good to honor one another. Not make a big song and dance of it, but, you know, put a little gift on somebody's bed without necessarily them knowing who it's from, even if it's a bar of chocolate or something. Just a way of honoring, being thankful to God for the friendship of that person. They're just little symbols of love. Little indications of love. Even just putting a, you know, you're praying for somebody, God gives you an encouraging word of scripture. You can write it out, put it under their pillow or on their pillow or something. When they go to bed, there they see this encouraging word before they go to sleep. All kinds of little ways to honor one another. To be thinking of others. And not just yourself. And of course, you start to do this for others, and others will do it for you. That's not your motive, but you will simply reap what you sow. You start encouraging others, and you will see how much you will yourself be encouraged. Are we all breathing? There's a lot more I could say. But, you know, you can be very inventive in finding ways to honor people, if that's what you want to do. Number six, I will be faithful to you and will not treat my covenant responsibilities lightly. God is faithful, and he is always faithful to his covenant promises to his people. What he calls us to do is to be faithful in our covenant relationship with him. Faithful in obeying what he tells us to do so that he can demonstrate his faithfulness to the promises he has given us. Now, if you take that principle of how we relate to God and put it to one and apply it to one another, then you see we are to be faithful in our covenant for one another. We are to be faithful in working out these principles. And we've got people all around us in very close proximity every day to enable us to do that. So, you know, it's going to be put to the test that you would prefer others when there are seconds in the dining room rather than just rushing in to be first yourself. That's it. After you, brother. The sisters never go up for more than they, but after you. All kinds of tiny ways, but you see, this is covenant. This is learning to think of others before yourself, learning to put others before yourself, learning to outwork all these covenant responsibilities. Because you honor God by being faithful in your covenant relationships. See, what does it really mean to God if we sing all these songs and lift our hands and chanter away in tongues for a few minutes, but we're not actually living out our lives in obedience to the covenant that he has given us? So it's not one or the other, it's both, isn't it? We will sing and rejoice, make merry in the Lord, but at the same time we will outwork our responsibilities to one another. You can read more about all these things in True Covenant. Number 7. Oh, now to Jesus this is so important. I will forgive you. I will not allow any failure on your part to hinder our relationship. If I fail in my love for you, I shall be quick to ask for your forgiveness. You see, why is judging and criticizing and speaking against one another so far from God's will? Because what he teaches us is that we have to be merciful as he is merciful, and even if your brother or sister is wrong, you still don't judge them, but you forgive them. If there's anything that you need to put right with them, you go to them. You don't criticize them to others. You go directly to the one concerned. And you never go to accuse them. You know, you really hurt me when you said bum, 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 bum. That is not the way to do it. But you go to them and say, please forgive me because I've been feeling negative towards you. Because you may not have realized it, but when you said so-and-so, you really upset me. So please forgive me for my negative attitude. Go to confess your sin, not theirs. Hello? This is covenant. And if you do something inadvertently, because I trust you would never do something deliberately to upset somebody, but all of us sometimes do things inadvertently to upset other people. We don't understand the consequences of our actions. And we discover that out of thoughtlessness or ignorance, we have offended somebody. Then we need to go to that person. We need to humble ourselves and go to that person and say, please forgive me. Now, where these covenant principles are violated, are broken, they can cause a lot of damage in the body of Christ. So the devil loves to encourage people to violate these principles. He will appeal to the flesh to do the very opposite of what God does by appealing to your spirit. And the flesh and the spirit are totally at odds with one another. So here are 7 principles that God wants to see outworked amongst us in practice. And what will happen as a result during the course of this college year is that you will grow increasingly in love for one another. So much so that people that come in amongst us will remark on the love. Somehow or other, where there is that kind of covenant love, it communicates. I've never really been able to understand how, but I just know that it does. That where that love exists, anybody can just come in among those people and they can sense that quality of love. So that's what we want to aim for, isn't it? And we don't want to be guilty of anything that's going to cut across that. So you can, for months and months and months, on the church bulletin, we had a sort of a, every week we had a brief version of these things. I belong to you, I love you, I will provide for you, I will defend you, I will honor you, I will be faithful to you, I will forgive you. That's just an easy way of remembering all these things. I belong to you, I love you, I will provide for you, I will defend you, I will honor you, I will be faithful to you, I will forgive you. Right, last. Isn't it practical? You see, God's love, agape, is practical. It's got nothing to do with emotion, nothing to do with feelings. It is utterly practical. When you outwork it, of course, your emotions get involved, not because you form a relationship that is based upon emotion, but you actually begin to really care about people. Now, what can you do if there's somebody that you find really difficult and you find you just can't really get on with them? Very, very simple. Make a decision that every day you're going to pray for them. I guarantee after a few weeks you will love that person. You cannot pray every day for anybody without God giving you a love for those for whom you're praying. So instead of resenting them and avoiding them, making sure you don't sit next to them either here or in the dining room, pray for them. Yeah. And oh, by the way, just another little wheeze that we'll sort of tackle at this point. You guys do not sit in the dining room next to the girls who you know won't have puddings. That is not the basis of covenant love. Some have been found out already. You are sitting next to that person to build covenant relationship, not to get three puddings. Amen. And that's why you want to mix around, both here, don't sit next to the same people all the time, and in the dining room. There should be no lonely person among you. When I was pastoring all the single people and all the elderly people, the widows, widowers, they were all attached to a family. So all of them had a family to eat with on Sundays. And the children, especially with the elderly, the children from from those families would call in on the way home from school to see if the elderly people needed any shopping, because it was a brilliant housing estate. All the old people's places were as far from the shops as it was possible to put them. Brilliant planning. But it gave opportunity for our young people to love and serve. And those old people became sort of like an adopted granny. And you'd be surprised how it brightened up the lives of those young people, of those old people, to know that one of these youngsters was just going to call in, see, are you all right? Is there anything I can get for you? Do you need any help? And just help everybody to have that sense of belonging. Well, we can work that out much more easily here, because we're all here together all the time. Our church here is very different because it's people live in a very wide area, whereas that church, people lived much more in a small geographical area, parish. So praise God. The important thing is that we work the principles out in the situation where God puts us. But make sure there's nobody lonely. And, you know, lonely people are often the most difficult to relate to initially, but it doesn't mean that they don't want relationships. Right. You must understand that some people find it very difficult to form relationships at first. Mm-hmm. And you know, just give them the opportunity to do that. Oh, there's so many other things that we could touch on that just crop up as in practice as we outwork these things. But if you keep those principles in the forefront of your mind, then all these nitty-gritty little things you will work out. Just because others are in covenant with you, you don't become clingy. You don't become dependent just upon two or three people. Watch out for the lonely ones, but spread yourselves around, you know. Very, very important. It isn't that, oh, well, I want a special covenant relationship with two or three people. No. You're in covenant with everybody. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's just thank the Lord that He has made covenant with us. Putaparazatapara sataria letubakarasita. Barataparazataria letubakarasitri sandava. Boroto parrazataria letubakara sitri sandra. Boto parrazataria letubakara sitri sandra. Thank Him that He's always faithful in His covenant towards us. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pota parazata parasitaria letu bakarasitaba. Barata parazataria letu bakarasitri santuma. Thank you, Master. Bota parazataria letu bakarasitaba. Hallelujah. Thank you that He's always faithful in His promises. And just pray that you will be faithful in the outworking of His commands in your life. And especially this command that is the new command for the new covenant, that we will love one another as He has loved us. Lord, we just sense the responsibility as well as the privilege of this call upon our lives to be the people of love, to be a people of unity, so that the world will know who you are. That we will give this demonstration of covenant love to people who are outside the kingdom. That, Lord, we will show how wonderful it is to belong to a body of believers so that others coming in will want to belong. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray for the outworking of these covenant principles with one another. Hallelujah. Now just take each of them and say to the Lord, I'm trusting in your spirit to see these principles outworked in my life. Hallelujah. First of all, I belong to you. Thank the Lord that He's given you to the body, and He's given the body to you. That He's given you all these people to express His love towards. And He's put you within a situation where that you are surrounded by people that can love you, encourage you, bless you, support you. That when you're down, they can lift you up. And when they are down, you can lift them up. Just thank the Lord that you belong. And just tell the Lord that you will love them with His grace, with the love that He has poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, that agape love. You will love, bless, serve, give. You will find ways to honor people. If God has shown you that you still have a selfish mentality where everything revolves around you and what you want and what you think and so on, and just ask Him to forgive you now and for the Holy Spirit to work in you to give you that mentality where you want to live for others, love others, bless others, lay down your life for your friends, to be here for them and not yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Potapara zataria leto bakara sitapa. Basta kara zatori sato bakara sitri santo bakara sotapa. Hallelujah. Just agree with the Lord that you will provide for others. That when He provides for you, you know, you will look for ways of sharing the blessing with others, of being a channel of His grace to other people. Now agree with the Lord that He's going to give you the grace to defend others, not to criticize them, not to judge them, not to speak against them, that you're not going to violate the covenant by having a negative, critical attitude towards others. Come on, this is very, very important. If you defend people, you protect them. You don't expose them, you protect them. Come on, just agree that you're going to protect your brother and sister, even when they're wrong.
You're still not going to criticize them, still not going to judge them, but you will pray for them. Hallelujah. Korata parazata pariazitupa. Borata parazataria letupa. Now just agree that you will honor others and obey those who are over you in the Lord. That's just reaffirming what you were saying last week. But it's all part of covenant. That there will be unity and harmony in the whole body. That we will move ahead behind the mighty warrior who is going ahead of us. And we're going to move as one. Hallelujah. He said as we move, so he will go ahead of us. But, you know, he won't go ahead of us until we're ready to move. So we're going to move. Amen. He's going to go ahead of us. He's going to do the fighting for us. He's going to give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But we're going to move ahead as one. Oh, going to be like that Roman army. Hallelujah. We got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the enemy is retreating. He is retreating before us. Hallelujah. He's not going to be able to penetrate the ranks. He's not going to be able to cause any gaps. He's not going to be able to get behind us to stab us in the back because we have others behind us guarding our backs. Korata parazata parasitrizatuba. Bata parazatari eletuba karasituba. Now thank the Lord, he's going to give you grace to be faithful in fulfilling the covenant. Hallelujah. And you're not going to treat your covenant responsibilities lightly. But you're going to see this is, it's joyful business, but it's serious business. Hallelujah. And lastly, just thank God for a spirit of mercy. A heart of mercy and forgiveness towards others. And that whenever you get upset or whenever you feel wronged, you're going to be very quick to forgive. You want a forgiving heart so that that is your immediate response when anything goes wrong. You forgive. You forgive. You forgive. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if there's anybody that you're finding particularly difficult at present, pray for them now. Don't pray for them to be changed so they become what you want them to be. Just pray for God to be working in them, God to be working through them. Just pray for their well-being. Jesus says we're to bless those who curse us. We're to pray for our enemies. We're to bless those who persecute us. Amazing. But it just shows the kind of heart attitude that we're to have. And if we're to have that kind of attitude towards enemies, what about our brothers and sisters in Christ? They're not our enemies. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you that you are going to break down these walls that sometimes seem to exist between us and other people. And Lord, just show us ways in which we can reach out to those that we find difficult. That we won't avoid them. Hallelujah. But we will really be able to build relationship with them. And we just give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.